God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. The news cycle, we often choose not to be ruled by it. Well, in fact, we always choose to not be ruled by it. Sometimes it lines up, though, with what I think God wants me to talk about. So we are going to talk about a news cycle item, but it's not a news cycle item you'll hear in the Mockingbird medium. But some people say, why are you even talking about it? And it has to do with the society observing itself. It has to do with young people observing a society that's observing itself. It has to do with something that's called a low-trust society. If you think about the way we're to organize ourselves, according to the Lord Jesus, there's a lot of trust. The Lord Jesus trusted his disciples with a lot of information and asked them to hold that close to the vest until it was a time for them to release it. He trusted other people. He trusted the woman at the well to go and tell. First person he said, in a public sense, "I am the Messiah," was this broken woman at the well. A lot of trust. In a low-trust society, people are beginning to observe that the folks at the top don't have any tendency to follow the law. In high-trust societies, people follow the law, not because they're afraid of getting caught breaking it, but because it's the norm. In our era, where politics has become for many the idol, it's okay to lie, it's okay to steal, it's okay to threaten, it's okay to coerce, it's okay to break every single commandment in the Ten Commandments. It's okay to do anything in pursuit of political power. That has started at the top, and it's gone all the way down to what you might consider the bottom. At the top, the Daily Mail, a United Kingdom-based news organization, along with the Daily Caller, a U.S.-based news organization, reports that Colonel Earl Matthews says that on January 6th, the army leaders stripped President Trump of all authority. They claimed Matthews claims they plotted to balk orders to deploy the National Guard to the Capitol. Well, that would, in fact, be stripping President Trump of some of his powers. That would be an insurrection. That would be the military taking over command of the country, at least in that sense, over those troops. Now, the states do have to invite the National Guard. The president can't just send them. So there is some nuance to this. But Colonel Matthews, in speaking to Congress, was not unclear. In fact, he didn't even take his full time for his opening statement. He was really, really clear.
"I'm here today because two senior general officers of the United States Army, General Charles A. Flynn and Lieutenant General Walter E. Piatt, have acted contrary to those values. Generals Piatt and Flynn have lied to Congress, to federal investigators, and to the American people about why it took so long for the District of Columbia National Guard to deploy to the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021.
Now, mind you, as he's testifying here, he's under threat of perjury.
"Their distortions contributed to a deeply and fundamentally flawed Department of Defense Inspector General investigation and to deficiencies in other official inquiries. On January 6, 2021, I was on duty and present during numerous conversations, video conferences, and phone calls leading up to, during, and after the riot, which was engulfing.
Of course, they have to stop for a second. It's Congress. They've got to interrupt Colonel Matthews, who says that the government officials lied to the Inspector General and effectively stripped Trump of his powers.
Engulfing the Capitol. When I say these general officers lied, I do not do so lightly or cavalierly. I speak from personal knowledge, having interacted with them on January the 6th in my official military capacity. Unfortunately, some senior officials within the Department of the Army and the Department of Defense have sought to protect or to promote Generals Flynn and Piatt. These senior civilian officials have excused, condoned, or overlooked the misconduct of these officers. As a former acting general counsel of the Department of the Army and its chief legal officer, I take these matters seriously, even if others don't.
He's turning the page in his statement.
I'm glad the subcommittee has an open mind and is committed to the dogged search for the truth. In my formal statement, which I provided to the committee in advance of today's hearing, I detailed General Piatt's and General Flynn's intentional misrepresentations to the Congress and to federal investigators. During today's hearing, I hope to discuss with you how they lied, where they lied, and in my opinion, why they lied.
So his opinion on why they lied is interesting, and we'll talk about this week. The fact is, he's the second military person to put himself under threat of perjury to talk about this. The refusal to deploy the National Guard, despite President Trump's urging that it be done. And it matters. The why is the question. Let's just look at some patterns here as we're talking about a low trust society. General White Rage is what I call him, because that's kind of how he's known. I'm white, and I want to understand white rage. I think it's a real thing. He didn't know what it was. General Milley. When General Milley decided to contact his Chinese counterpart and say, I will warn you, if the president of the United States decides to launch an attack against you, he committed treason. If he had actually carried that out, had the head of the military, the commander-in-chief, the president, decided to attack China, General Milley would have gotten American troops killed. That's treason. See, this stuff matters because it allows us to realize how flawed everything is at the top and how clear the Lord Jesus is making things for us. A perfect king, we serve and therefore change ourselves by letting God change us, or a nation that is right now very corrupt from the top. There is an easy example right outside of government. It's adjacent to government. Google is effectively government. Google has reportedly taken down an ad by President Trump's team, and they're not really saying why they did that.
Hello, I'm with the Biden campaign.
Yeah, I voted for Biden last time.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Everything costs more. Food, gas, rent.
Okay, but Biden's helping pay rent for newcomers to America from around the world.
You mean illegal immigrants? I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals? They get handouts and I'm paying for it.
But Biden can still count on your vote, right?
Things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump.
They've taken that down. Now, there's two media reports on this, and there's screenshots of the note from Google saying the ad's been taken down. See, this is from the top. What exactly would be the violation of a Google policy there? Those things are happening. That's not an untruthful ad. It's a great ad. Maybe that's why it's being taken down. So the model for young people is they see, well, in politics, anything goes. You can lie at the top. You can even refuse to carry out the orders of the commander-in-chief as a member of the military. As the military, you can decide, no, we will counteract the measures of the president. That's an actual insurrection. In the case of taking this ad down, that's actual election interference. They're not taking down Joe Biden ads. They're not taking Joe Biden to court on absolutely insane, clearly made up and manufactured charges. I mean, the president may have paid Stormy Daniels some money, and that's never been a reason that you take a misdemeanor and turn it into a felony and then a series of felonies that even the feds wouldn't pursue. The model of a low trust society will get worse. As people who are not at the top begin to see that the people at the top do not care about the rules, or in our case as Christians, anything, they don't care about anything in relation to the Ten Commandments, the modeling works. It goes down to the young people. This is in, I think, Washington, D.C., and it's a young woman who absolutely decided to go out and let her emotions rule her life. She destroyed a man's Trump sign, and in so doing, she was surprised to learn that she had committed what's called a crime. A crime? It's a crime?
Did you damage his sign?
I can see that you guys have it on video.
So what's going to happen? With all respect.
So here's the damage.
So are we pressing?
Yes,
charges?
Yes. Destruction of private property. After good behavior, 6 months in community service, the judge will drop it.
I am a full-time student. I'm coming back here in the summertime.
Nope. Next time you'll think not to do it.
Like, you can't find any like peace in your heart and understanding. This is insane.
No, what was insane is what you did for no reason.
What's insane is that your friend is in a bunny suit and you're outside of a liberal arts school inciting you.
I'm on a public street and a public sidewalk on a public street.
I don't understand this.
This is probably the third or fourth flag that's been damaged.
I'm putting my studies in my future, though. Don't you think it kind of gets in the way of, like, me growing and becoming as an individual?
Teachable moment.
What is a teachable moment?
This. Right now.
The teachable moment is you don't get to destroy people's property. Now, see, she, in D.C., lives around people who, for whom politics is the alpha and the omega. It is their king. It is what they worship. It's what they serve. That's the model. And you combine that with low trust society behaviors of breaking the rules. Well, this is what politics has become, from the very top to the very bottom, from the DC Capitol to the Michigan State House. State Senator Jim Runstead is very concerned about a bill making its way through the House that will make election fraud far easier. For listeners in Michigan, it's called SB 603.
The Senate Bill 603, we just passed it off of the floor here today. It is going to be an explosion of election fraud here in the state of Michigan. This bill blatantly violates the ability of Michigan citizens to appeal to the Board of Canvassers to question the validity of election. This bill is an outrageous design to prevent the means of challenging an election by no longer allowing Michigan residents to petition for a recall based on fraud or mistakes. Instead, they say you can only call it an error and talk about an error. Regardless of what you call it, fraud or error, there is no rationale that justifies barring citizens from requesting a recount when they believe that fraud has occurred. The passage of this bill will now bar local boards of canvassers from investigating any allegations of fraud.
A young woman thinks she should be allowed to destroy a Trump sign because it bothers her. The state Senate, Democrats and state Senate in Michigan, think you should be banned from asking for an investigation based upon fraud. You have to call it a mistake. You have to use the words they want. A colonel in the Army and a lawyer says that generals and colonels at the very top of command decided to not just ignore the orders of the commander-in-chief, but to effectively strip him of his authority on January 6th. I think God's making it very, very clear for us. Come home to him. Make him our king, the Lord Jesus. If you haven't done that, I invite you to do it. Or just understand, this sort of treatment is a little mini version of what you will see, divorced from God for eternity. We'll come back with a woman who is unbelievably a happy warrior. Unbelievably so. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I had a fascinating discussion with a woman named Tiffany Justice, one of the founders of Moms for Liberty. I love a guest who will push back on a host, and she does it in a friendly way. We don't disagree on much. Just some, well, things about the state of America, etc. This is part of that conversation. You can get the whole thing at thetoddhermanshow.com. Years ago, I remember I was hosting a little radio show called the Rush Limbaugh Program many, many years ago. And I got a phone call from someone, and it was a woman who said, we're going to be starting a group called Moms for Liberty. And I remember we talked for 6 or 7 minutes, and then all of a sudden, there was this group, Moms for Liberty. And you guys have done a brilliant job of organizing and promoting, and praise God for that. Does anyone in the organization remember that phone call?
Yeah, Tina. That was Tina, I think. Tina's a good talk. Yeah, Tina's a radio girl. People always think it's like, oh, they're, you know, AstroTurf and, you know, oh, they, but, and like they were platformed on Glenn Beck. The truth of the matter is that Tina probably called like 5,000 times to get on that show. So we earned every time we got on a radio show. That was Tina in the car line, probably waiting for her son, just trying to get on a radio show to talk about Moms for Liberty. She's pretty awesome like that.
Yeah. Okay. So it was Tina that did that. And, there was so much that happened between then and now. And what do you think has been the catalyst for lighting fires under moms? What do you, I mean, I can suspect, I have my ideas. I'm married to a mom. I have a mom, although my mom's a liberal. She's nuts. But what do you think did it?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think that parents were really caught off guard when they saw some of the things that their kids were learning in school during COVID, right? Or they started talking to their kids more about their education and, you know, really seeing where their kids actually learning, right? Did that A actually mean anything? Could your kid read more than the back of a cereal box? And then some of the indoctrination stuff and the ideology, right? The gender stuff. I mean, and so I think parents really were taken aback. And then they came to the school district when COVID happened and, you know, they were like, wait, you're closing the schools, you're keeping them closed, our kids aren't doing okay. And by the way, they were finding out they weren't doing okay to begin with. And they just got shut down. The school districts didn't want to hear it. The school board members panicked. They didn't know what to do with this flood of parents who were calling foul when it came to their kids' education. And they just shut speech down. And we know that because the National School Board Association sent a letter to the Biden administration, to the DOJ, asking the DOJ to intervene because the school board members were afraid for their lives. Now, give me a break. We see riots all over America right now. You know, we're talking about parents at a school board meeting getting passionate about the fact that their kid's been out of school for 40 days straight.
Yep.
So I just think that was the moment. It wasn't just the bad stuff, but it was then the reaction of the people when the bad stuff was called out. I think parents maybe expected some of the people to be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, there's
that didn't really happen.
I think that's well said, Tiffany. There's a formula at the Department of Justice that the people need to understand. And the formula has been handed down to activist school boards. And there's a magic word I'll share with you here in a second. Tiffany Justice is with us. Tiffany, I'm sure you know this because your group has gotten so big. But there was, there's a formula that the DOJ basically provided activist school boards on how to trespass people. That if you use the phrase trespassing at all, it allows them to put you onto a domestic, terrorist list. And
that's nice.
So you guys are aware of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I am now.
There's the phrase. All you have to say is you're trespassing. If they say from the school board, you're trespassing. No, this is true. I talked to a lawyer about this. If they say you're trespassing, boom, that triggers domestic terrorism thing. Now it's a domestic terrorism investigation if they say you're trespassing.
Well, I mean, I was always surprised when I was on school board, even with our own school board, but like I'd watch school board meetings around the country. Yeah. I've watched a lot of school board meetings. And then the school board would act like the police were their private security agency. Like the police are there to keep the peace in the public meeting. And yes, you pay them for their time, but they're not under your jurisdiction. You can't just say, oh, wait, no, this crime isn't one that I want you to pursue, but that one is, right? We can show porn to kids in the library, but, you know, sick them on the parent for not directing all conversation through the chair. They someone's mic got shut off because they were addressing a board member directly.
When you see a response like this, there's like two ways you can react. One is with laughter to look at this and go, do you think we don't see this? And the other is rage, rage or resentment. And I think it's hard to laugh, but they're so very obviously terrified of what's happening, which is they're feeling their monopoly be shaken to the floor. They're seeing it dissolve before their eyes. And their response is so indicative of tyrants, which is, I'm going to tyrant harder. Have you ever seen a school board when they see this stuff and it's put in front of them? Have you ever seen them go, oh, dear Lord God, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, this we happened? Have seen oh, really? Them. Oh, talk about that.
Yeah, we have seen some of them. Even in my own county, in Indian River County, new board members got on and the boards are, you know, I mean, I've said before, there are some of these books were in the library when I was on school board. And I didn't know. But if a parent had brought it to my attention, I wouldn't have ignored it.
Yeah,
I would have said to the superintendent, like, we've got an issue here. You need to start doing a review of all of the library books. We need to bring this up at a meeting.
Yep.
We have seen school boards take, you know, and superintendents. I'm trying to think if there was a superintendent in Illinois recently that was sharing Abigail Schreier's new book, Bad Therapy. If you haven't read it yet, it's called Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. And it really talks about the state of kids today, how, you know, a nation of children who were, you know, the most coddled have grown into the most fragile, you know, generation in however long in generations. He shared it and was, you know, so there are educators that are waking up, and the more people that start speaking up and the more school boards that watch another one that, you know, takes action and doesn't, you know, go up in flames, yeah, then they say, oh, okay, maybe it's okay for us to do that too.
I love hearing that. Moms for Liberty's gotten really big, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how big is it?
We're in 48 states, soon to be 49. So watch out, Ben and Jerry. We're coming to Vermont. And I don't buy your ice cream anymore.
Did you work
either.
On that line? Did you rehearse woke. That? You did that so well. Did you rehearse that one?
Yeah, no, I just, okay, it's just, we're coming. Right. My kids are like, Ben and Jerry's ice cream is on sale. I'm like, nope, sorry. we have used the power of the purse in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Right. And anyway, so yeah, it's grown a lot, and we have over 300 chapters, 130,000 members, and just, you know, really interesting group of people that were never really that engaged in politics that are, you know, recognizing that this government doesn't work well without them and their voice. And so they're saying, okay, they're rolling up their sleeves. I think of the people like the George Washingtons of their time.
Yeah. And this is like, I've said that, and this is a pessimistic view and it bothers some people. I've said that America 1.0 is over. We're in America 2.0 building stage right now. To me, it ended when they started to criminalize speech. You know, when Douglas Mackey is facing.
Yeah, I'm going to push back on you.
Yeah. Wait, you're going to push back on the host?
Yeah.
Can I see your license, lady? You have a license for that? Okay, push back.
So I think America 1.0 is strong, and we need to go back to our foundation. And those are the guiding documents to move us forward. And, you know, free speech is being challenged all over the country in many different ways. We just had new Title IX regulations that came out that are really going to compel speech and violate free speech. We see different issues with social media you know, access to social media and speech issues, because, you know, free speech isn't just the right to say what you want. It's the right to also access information. And so it's been very interesting. It's just as the world changes, you know, we have to adapt and continue. But I don't think it's 2.0. I think it's 1.0, just great again.
So here's great again. Here's my case for this is, when we are seeing people facing prison sentences for retweeting a meme.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you don't
have work to do.
We don't have free speech.
We need to reverse that.
I agree. And I think that free speech is more than this. I believe that speech is our pathway to God, because our conscience is our ability to think of the word of God, to meditate on the word of God, to interpret. Sometimes the Holy Spirit conditions around us to be with other Christians. We're at a point where the expression of conscience is a punishable offense if it's the wrong conscience. And okay, when a government has convinced itself of this, and let's be fair, it's not just, you know, communist Democrats, it's largely communist Democrats, but there's plenty of Republicans who are happy to police speech. When it's metastasized to that point, what I think is exciting is that you, in your group, you guys are the sort of godly people we need in government who are bringing back, we don't need to, we can quibble over 1.0, 2.0. You're focused on bringing us back to a founding that has to respect God. Do you think that we can rebuild the nation in anything other than humble service to Christ?
I think that we need to recognize that, you know, we have a lot of different people that live in America.
Yeah.
And we believe this nation was founded in one of the principles, it really founded in religious liberty, the idea of you know, being able to practice your religion.
Yeah.
Freely. And, you know, we're seeing religious liberty being challenged in so many different ways. You know, I work in the schools. So I'll tell you that in Montgomery County, Maryland, we held a town hall there. There's a rainbow curriculum, I think they call it, that covers LGBTQ topics. And the parents there wanted to opt out of it for their children, and they were told no.
Yeah.
And they challenged that in court. And that was a diverse group of parents from many different faiths. There were Christian, Muslim, atheist parents on the lawsuit. And the judge said that it didn't violate the free religious exercise of the parents to have the child taught that in the classroom. And so when I did the town hall, one of the dads had shared that he felt like his child was being baptized into another religion when they were at school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, again, we just have these different issues being challenged, you know, that they're pushing, they want to move the window, right? They want to normalize a lot of these things, and it's clashing up against our founding principles and our foundational documents of our country, and also our fundamental rights, just as, you know, human beings. You don't get your rights from the government as a parent, you get them from God. And I just think we're just seeing some really important challenges. I mean, this time in American history, I think will be remembered for, you know, does the Bill of Rights and does our Constitution really carry us forward? And I think it can.
I think it's the only thing under the Bible that can. So I believe it's, for me, it has to be grounded in God's word. And I believe our Constitution and Bill of Rights respects that. Now, understand something. I am not endorsing any kind of theocracy or any kind of religious test at all, because then you're not Christian. I mean, if you're going to say we're going to have an enforced theocracy, guess what? Jesus never did that. So you've now departed the faith. So I want to be clear. I'm talking about for us in terms of elected officials, but I want to get back to the focus of your group and some of the things that you've seen. I would also really appreciate you talking into the lives of grandparents, because there's a lot of people who say, oh, I don't have kids anymore, so this doesn't matter to me. So I maybe you could address that in a second. Tiffany Justice, I remember reading, and I can't remember which Mockingbird media event it was, but channel it was, but you guys did an event in Philadelphia. It was the first time I saw you referred to as domestic terrorists. And I've always wanted to ask you, have you ever beheaded a person?
I have not.
What? You said that very quietly.
I have not. I'm just trying to be clear. Here's the thing with the I'll just talk about this first.
Okay, please do.
I think this is important.
Okay.
I never thought the domestic terrorist thing was a joke. I never made a joke about it. You never saw me put it in my profile. I never wore a t-shirt that said it on it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's funny. I think it's serious.
Okay.
And I think when we talk about things in that manner, right, where you know, I understand we can laugh at some stuff, but being an enemy of your own country, of in your own people, is not something to be laughed at. And when you're a mom and you're raising kids, you don't want your kids to think, you know, that's why they did that, to do that to us, to try to shame us and to try to, you know, make us untouchable. But we just rejected it. And, you know, I just recommend to every parent, you know, just reject it. Just say, absolutely not. What nonsense.
I cannot tell you how deeply I wish other guests would act this way. And push back on the host. It's better entertainment. It's better programming. It's better exchanging of ideas. This is how adult human beings should speak to one another. Like, people genuflect because I've got the show. Who cares? You have the organization that's bigger. Thank you for being honest that way. I've had from time to time, people say things about me. What do you say to people who are not used to being called names? Who
Yeah, so that? this is the distinction, right? You can call me a lot of things. I've been called a lot of things.
Yeah.
But the domestic terrorist thing, the reason why it was important to push back wasn't that it hurt my feelings in that way, although it is offensive. I mean, truly. But it was because it was very intentionally said, because that's exactly what we're trying to get involved in representative government and have our voice heard. So they needed to take what we were using in order to make progress away from us. And we're raising the next generation of patriots. So they need to also criminalize how we're raising our children. And so that's why it was so important just to, you know, not make a joke about it, because it's not a joke.
And so when you meet people who are new to activism, do you tell them?
Yes, I'll answer this question. Yeah.
Okay, you're right. So do you arm them for this? Like,
you arm them with the truth. Okay. Like gender affirming care, you tell them that that's nonsense, and then you give them all the white papers, and you show them all the new studies that are coming out, and you give them words to say they're, you know, no child is born in the wrong body.
Right.
There are boys and girls, and they're beautiful just as they are. Right. Children cannot consent to puberty blockers. You give them the words and you explain to them why, and you show them the research, and then they're empowered, and then they get called every name in the book. But nothing validates blocking the natural development of a child or cutting off their healthy body parts.
Again, praise God for the work Tiffany Justice and Moms for Liberty are doing. You can hear the entire conversation, and it's a good one. It's about an hour. Just subscribe to my podcast. Open the podcast app on your phone. Search for The Todd Herman Show. I'm the guy with the gray beard. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll talk about this as we wrap up the show, but I just wanted to tease something up in your mind. How's your day go when you don't start in the Word? I mean, if you don't start in the Word ever, you wouldn't know. But how does your day go when you do not start in the Word, even if you pray? And I'm planting that in your mind, or I'm not planting it, I'm asking you to think about it. Just think about the patterns in life. When you do not begin in the Word, when do you get the best sleep? No, they're connected to me. I pray before bed, but I found that I get the very best sleep, aside from the routines I have to induce good sleep, because I'm very, very into hacking my body and making sure that I take advantage of every bit of natural help God gives us to sleep. But I noticed something. I sleep the sleep of the righteous. That is relaxing, that is complete, it is full in REM and deep sleep when there's a pattern. So first question, how's your day go when you do not begin in the Word? And when do you sleep the sleep of the righteous? On this program, we do something that might seem bizarre to some folks. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
That's such a good one. Three sound bites, I think, make the point well that God allows this to happen. I think we're just to observe the patterns and say, wow, human wisdom isn't all that wise, even from the people at the top. First up today in the Tower of Babbling, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser made some comments about the Mockingbird media. In fact, she made them to the Mockingbird media.
I think that's really a question for our friends in the media. I know you all have been waiting. You didn't report that we had like over a week where violence was down, homicide didn't happen. I know you didn't report that, but that's okay. I'll tell you.
That is a woman celebrating 1 week without a murder in the nation's capital. You know, I was reading a Russian author the other day. I'm trying to remember the name of him. It was an article. He'd been in the gulag. And he was talking about the book, the Ecclesiastes. Some people say it's the saddest book in the Bible. And he said to the bourgeois, the Ecclesiastes, oh no, to the party, the Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is an instruction book. To the bourgeois, that would be the middle class, it's a cautionary note. To those of us in the gulag, it's God's dark comedy. And it's the questioning of purpose. Is there even a purpose in living? And in this case, if you listen to this, is this God's dark comedy? That a woman like that celebrating 1 week without a murder is the mayor of Washington, D.C. I think it just continues with this theme of the show we had in the first segment, a low-trust society. That's not a thing to celebrate. It's great that there wasn't a life taken, but it's Washington, D.C. They'll be able to make that up in the weeks to come with more lives taken, sadly. Next up in the Tower Babbling, a reporter asks the spokeslayer for the White House about letting the tax cuts President Trump passed into law expire.
So the president says that he wants to let the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts, expire. If that law expires, it does raise taxes on almost every American. So does he still support that expiring without anything else in place?
So look, as you said, the president is going to let the Trump tax cut expire.
This woman is someone they tried to get out of the job. The fact that they couldn't launch what was called a coup against a woman who has made it her job to read from notebooks, and not even convincingly, since that's not an answer she was prepared to recite from a book, she pauses and stutters around. It's, again, low-trust society material. Wait a minute. So this spokeslayer doesn't even have to pretend to understand the issues. It suffices for her to be able to read from a notebook, and we are forced to pay her money for that? It's very, very much a low-trust society. Last clip in today's Tower of Babbling, Sunny Hostin. She has a reason why the police should not be allowed to enter these so-called camps, these pro-Hamas camps on campuses, even as a lot of the colleges are once again bowing to these kids. We'll talk about this later this week, what's happened to some of these kids. You know, they were arrested, right? Did you remember? Do you know what happened next after they were arrested? No, we'll talk about that later this week. Sunny Hostin educating us on why you can't send cops into these camps.
Let's also remember that these kids they're protesting are kids that grew up with active fire drills, and for them to be subjected to the type of police violence that we are seeing on the nightly news
students
is something also
cross campus.
But it's also something
the antithesis
to recall.
Of freedom of speech is threatening someone. They have to say what you believe to cross the campus.
They had fire drills. They had active shooter drills. So police cannot go into a camp, and if they are attacked or pepper sprayed, or in the case of this professor who admitted to hitting cops in the back of his head as he was effecting an arrest because they went through active shooter drills. Now, is it any wonder that we've just gone through three women at the tops of their careers, a mayor, a spokeslayer for the White House, a television host, who convey no wisdom, and none of them fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I would say. Acting upon his word and living in alliance with it is the continuance of wisdom, hopefully landing upon holiness that imparted to us from him as a free gift. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
That is news. We usually wrap up the show with a personal observation of sorts from me. It's a way of me sharing a bit of myself with you. You're so kind to spend this time with us. I think it's a fair trade that you understand a little bit about the rodeo clown who gets to host the program. I asked you at the top of the segment a couple of questions. How does your day begin if it doesn't start in the Word? And when do you sleep the sleep of the righteous? Now, maybe you're different from me. In fact, in all likelihood, you're very different. We're, after all, made in God's image, but he didn't want carbon copy human beings. We're all the body of Christ. That is, those of us who've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and agreed to be changed by him and act like he's our King. Those of us who signified that through baptism. This morning, as I went into work, and I got in early, I tend to front load my days because of the amount of podcasting I do, 2.5 hours of material every single workday, weekday. I tend to front load my activities. We do a lot of recording early in the week. And I came in having convinced myself I was too busy to be in the Word. Now, I prayed. I actually asked God to not be angry with me about some things. I asked forgiveness. I prayed for some friends. I prayed for some people I don't know. But I wasn't all in. I wasn't. I was distracted by the things of this world. And even in prayer, I apologized to the Lord for being distracted to the things of this world. I went out and got my dog some food, got myself some coffee. And this was at about, I woke up at about 3:45 this morning. That's actually kind of, that's par for the course for me. I did that. I put some protein powder in a container because I fast for 20 hours. And well, today. And then I got to work and was there alone. No one was in the studio. And I couldn't make my device work. I do some pre-recording for the podcast, some work I can do without my producer, and I couldn't get it to work. And I became very frustrated and very angry. And my entire morning became very difficult in that way. You know what I didn't notice? I had the wrong cord plugged in. Stupid. I spent probably 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes in this state of upset that I couldn't get this device to work. All I needed to do was understand, dude, you have the wrong cord plugged in. That was 25 minutes I could have spent in the Word. For me, when I don't start in the Word, I don't start plugged in. It's like starting without breakfast. Now, I do fast on certain days during the week, so I'm used to starting without breakfast. But the Word is more potent than food. Far more so. After all, the Lord Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Indeed. So having not been in his word, I was spiritually nourished. And I don't know that God did that to me. Had me pick the wrong cord. He obviously knew it was going to happen. But wouldn't it be like God to say, you couldn't even give me 20 minutes. I'm so sad. I'm so frustrated. I'm concerned for you. Here's 20 minutes, or 25, you could have had with me. Now, I'd also asked you, when do you sleep the sleep of the righteous? I've noticed this pattern this weekend that one night I slept 10 and a half hours. That's a long sleep. Now, granted, I tend to deprive myself of sleep during the week, particularly as I'm working up for this event in September, this Seal Fit event. I do that on purpose. So 10 and a half hours is a lot, but maybe not with the work I'm going through. But that relaxed. I hadn't had sleep like that, which I would regard as perfect, and so did my watch. I wear a watch that tracks my sleep efficacy. Perfect sleep. Exactly the right amount of deep and REM. The next day, I woke up very, very early, but I woke up absolutely refreshed. Not even a temptation to go back to sleep. The commonalities were these. Both of those days were filled with service. both of them were filled with being around people who were in God's word on purpose, who were choosing to serve on purpose, and with men who were following Christ. Both days. One day men my age, the next day young men. God gave me the resources to purchase dinner for seven of the high school men, because they are men now, with whom we've been working. I went and had family time, time with my wife. I fell asleep at 7:30 at night, and I slept righteously. Being filled with the word in the morning is that nutrition, and it's spiritual nutrition is almost a cliche. For me, it's far more like this. It's the actual charging of my body's electrical system, my central nervous system, the actual charging of my brain. Brain food. Being around people who serve is much more like the charging of my emotional circuits. My IQ was not working this morning. I was not in the word. My IQ, I stupidly picked the wrong cord to put in my device. My EQ was not working. That is my emotional intelligence in here expressing myself in artful ways, frustrated this device wasn't working when it was just me. When we begin our day in the Word and we wrap our days by being around people who serve the Lord Jesus, it's as if we're swimming in suddenly waters that don't just refresh, but actually work their way through these fragile bodies and charge us in ways that almost seem like a precursor, a tiny little glimpse of what life will be with glorified bodies. A tiny little taste of a body that's not tired. A tiny little taste of a mind that's not confused. Of a mind that's not going to go pick the wrong cord. Because in that moment, when we're given our glorified bodies and we walk with the Lord Jesus, we'll be living in a perfect sense, a perfect world with a perfect king. The closer we get to God's word during the day, and the more time we spend around people serving the Lord Jesus, the more glimpses we get of what our eternity will be like when we have our glorified bodies in the Lord Jesus. The more time we spend away from the word, well, we can see the opposite. Until the Lord decides you and I can speak again, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.